If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
I see what you're doing. This Katy Perry was at my event that America Ferrera hosted. And Janaya Khan, who joins us now, ripped the roof off the sucker. Standing ovations. Co-founder of Black Lives Matter Toronto. Hi, Janaya. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And I thought you were 14. You are not. You're 29. I apologize.
Melanin keeps me young. What can I say?
No, my friend and I were there, and we were there. She was like, you got to get her to speak on your radio show because you were... You are so well-spoken, and I was saying I'm really old, and Vanessa can tell you I don't remember anything anyone says. But you, I mean, this event, first of all, we were talking about is I Will Harness, and there were obviously Native American panels and Hispanic panels, and you had a Black Lives Matter panel. And the whole message was we've all got to work together, and you spoke to that so eloquently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the greatest misconceptions about Black Lives Matter is we're in it only for Black folks, and that's right. Actually not how organizing works.
Right.
You know, we all have to show up in our own ways.
Right. And I loved you. She started her speech. She said, some of this is going to be a little uncomfortable, but that's okay. This is where we need to be.
That's right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I love this. You are described as Black, queer, gender nonconforming activist, staunch Afrofuturist, boxer, and social justice educator. That is a lot of hats.
That's right. That's what we got to do, though, isn't it?
But you were, well, you co-founded, you're from Toronto.
So that's right.
You co-founded Black Lives Matter Toronto, but you live here in LA now.
That's correct.
Right. But one of the things you said I remembered is you said I refuse to be out-organized by white supremacy.
Yep. That's right. I think, you know, the organizing work that this is, it's a years-long campaign, and we're not just organizing for the next 4 years. We have to organize for the next 50.
Right.
And that's really where we're at this moment.
Right. Well, who would ever thought in 2017 we'd be talking about having literally white supremacists in the White House? I mean, it's, I think after having the first Black president, I think we all thought, oh, this is, look, we're moving forward. And there's obviously been, whatever you want to call it, backlash, white lash, whatever. But tell us about Black Lives Matter and how you came to, because if people will say, oh, it's controversial. Explain what it is from your point of view.
Yeah, well, I think just to start off, we always have to challenge the fact that saying Black Lives Matter is controversial, saying that Black lives have inherent value, inherent meaning is somehow controversial in 2016, 2017. But really, we started out as an intervention. Black Lives Matter has become a declaration, a prayer.
Yeah.
It's become an entire organizing body that's turned into an international movement. And why it started is in part because Black people keep getting left behind.
Right.
And so we recognized that there needed to be interventions on multiple levels, from socioeconomic and political factors to the reality of police brutality, to mass incarceration. So it's not just about Black life. It's the quality of Black life that we're intervening on.
You also said another thing that stuck with me. You said in history, we often ask, how did we let this happen? It happened just like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, whether you're talking about slavery, the Holocaust. I mean, you spoke to that so eloquently where you said, let's not be the generation that has to explain to our kids how we let this happen.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the question, though, when you read about these horrors? You ask yourself, how could they have let this happen? How could they not have seen it happening? And now we have the rise of, you know, white supremacy and white nationalism that's happening in the U.S. There's stirrings in Canada. It's happening all across Europe. And so we really need to be on guard because these implications are going to last for a long, long time.
Yeah. I have to tell you, these guys that I work with every day and you and how many young people were there really gave me some hope. Because I thought, wow, this is if people of every color and gender and age were there. But I think this really has activated not just young people, but every people that have. I never leave my house, Janaya. So the fact that I even left my house to meet you.
You know, one of my favorite sayings, you know, within Black Lives Matter, I think Alicia Garza had said it, is we don't need people to hand the mantle over. We actually need people to light more fires.
Ah, hold that thought right back with Janaya Khan on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Janaya Khan, co-founder of Black Lives Matter Toronto, is with us. Very, very exciting. She just blew the roof off this event that when she spoke on Saturday. And you had to follow Kamala Harris. So, listen, I was like, she's going to be first president. And then you spoke, and I'm like, no, she's going to be our first female president. And Katy Perry was sitting up behind me, and I had to trip halfway across the thing to go fangirl with you because you were... But it really is, first of all, you're 29 years old. You're like, my friend said you, when you, after the first time you spoke, you went, wow, she's a really old soul. Mm-hmm. But I think there's, I think this is such a particular moment in our history that I've been saying this over and over. I'm like, Google 14 characteristics of fascism. As you said, when people say, how did this happen? You're like this. It happens like this. It happens when good people do nothing.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that we're seeing, which is really alarming, and it's why I was saying we have to be in our discomfort, is we're not talking about the radicalization of white men in this nation right. and actually across Europe. And so when you're looking at the fact that we have an entire group of people that's actually considered, as in a 2006 report from the FBI, as the greatest domestic terrorist threat.
Yeah.
And when you're having the countering violent is extremism turned into countering Islamic extremism,
yeah.
that means that we have an entire population of people that are going to grow uninhibited without yeah. intervention and continue to militarize themselves.
Yeah.
And while that's happening on the ground in the actual administration within the Trump administration, there's a smaller and smaller circle of people determining what power is and what it looks like in this country. So we're seeing the erosion of government institutions.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, but I have to say what heartens me is not just events like we went to Saturday, obviously the women's marches, going to the airports. I mean, the way this beautiful sort of grassroots movement that we've seen out there. When we were at our thing Saturday, I know you probably saw this, the LGBT community was at Stonewall protesting, and I loved what they were doing. The message from America Refuses to Move Backward, that was the message from thousands of LGBT supporters who took to the New York City street Saturday to protest Trump's travel ban, obviously immigration policies, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, like, it's happening all over the country, events like ours that we happen to be at here in Los Angeles Saturday. And Marie Cariana is a lesbian who was there, my future wife. She said, whether we're straight, gay, immigrant, Native American, no matter who you are, we're all standing up to fascists. And that's exactly what the theme of our event was. And all over the country, she said, what will the next 4 weeks look like for her under a Trump presidency? She said, a hell of a lot more alcohol. Future wife. She's my future wife. Yes. Hell of a lot more alcohol. The fact is, it means I'm going to be on the streets fighting. The idea that we were going to be handing our kids a lack of rights that we already fought for decades ago, it'll be over my dead body. And I think that's what a lot of people are talking about, that we don't want, you know, we have to be our own greatest generation. You know, it's like this has happened before in our history, darkness, right? Mm-hmm. And we always found the light. I mean, our at least my dad, he was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. Like you have to remember, Hitler lost.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
We have to be our own greatest generation, right?
Absolutely. I think the way that some people in this country inherit wealth and inherit power, there's some of us who inherit the struggle.
Right.
And it's part of a long tradition and a legacy. And so that's one of the most heartening things that I have seen in these moments is people are self-organizing.
Right.
You know, people are mobilizing all across the nation. And I think what we need to see today are champions of the left. And the left has become this dirty word. People are uncomfortable with saying
right.
it. You
right.
don't see that with right-wing pundits and Republicans.
Right.
They're really, really strongly about it. But we need champions on the left. And I think for the first time in a long time, we're going to find out who the left actually is.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I was saying, for somebody who's caused more disunity than we've ever seen in our country, I've never seen this much unity. Have you? I mean, it's just...
I have not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Like, we're all in the bunker together. Now there's no Bernie and Hillary people. There's no... There's no, you know, your cause is more important than my cause, you know.
Yeah, it's we get free when all of us get free.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to organize with those who are the most oppressed, the most marginalized, because
right.
they actually have a lot of the tools that we need, because they've been organizing without any support, without any
right.
infrastructure. So those are our leaders. So trans women,
right.
sex workers, you know,
right.
migrant people, people who are undocumented, in the queer and trans community, black folks. You know, these are our leaders. These are the folks who are really going to show up for us when we need them.
You are director of Gender Justice LA
yes.
now. What is that?
So Gender Justice LA, it strives for gender equity. So it's looking at pay gaps. It's looking at employment. But also there's a specialized focus around the transgender experience.
Right.
You know, trans women especially, it's not being able to walk down the street and feel like you're going to get home safely at night.
Right.
You know, and if you are undocumented, if you are a woman, if you are black, you know what that feels like.
Right.
You know what it feels like to say, I might not make it home today. And so it's really about leveraging what resources that we have and building coalitions, because that's what we need right now.
Right. I don't know if we just were talking about, you know, Patton Oswalt, the comedian, right? I don't know if you heard this whole thing that he got in a Twitter fight with a Trump person
oh,
and the Trump guy ended up insulting his dead wife, who just died a little while ago at 46 years old and leaves a, you know, a little girl. Anyway, but he's a realtor in Illinois, but he got fired. Mm-hmm. But Patton Oswalt wrote a really interesting piece, but it was about that Trump absolutely has emboldened these people. Just not just the racism and the sexism and the misogyny and the, you know, but just meanness. Basic meanness. And he was saying, Trump, he said, all these Trumpers are going to find out on the other side of firings and divorces and, you know, black eyes, that the Trump's umbrella only protects him, not anybody else.
That's right.
Because I think that's one of the things we're dealing with. If he's emboldened people to say whatever hateful crap, racist, whatever that they want, right?
Under the guise of free speech, right? And so this is one of the things that's the most terrifying. Suddenly, the Republican Party and right-wingers and folks who have been emboldened by Trump are the heroes of free speech. And any calling out of, hey, that's actually hateful, that's harmful, that's hurtful, well, it's an infringement on their free speech. And it's interesting because we're seeing our movements and our movement language being co-opted in a really, really vicious way and sort of being flung back on us. Because if you're looking at the legacy of those who have fought for free speech, including MLK, it's really, really alarming. So it's not just the Trump administration. It's all of these people now who have been activated that make it incredibly unsafe to ride the subway, that make it incredibly unsafe to be in a bus, to be in a grocery store, to walk down the street. And we have to deal with these people.
Yeah.
So really, it's about what mechanisms and tools can we use to bring them in so we're not actually trying to change people's mind but open them.
Well, right. And I think, I mean, as it must hearten you like it does me. I mean, but particularly as an activist and an organizer to see all this in the streets, whether it's the Women's March or the airports, or to know, I mean, for us to show the world another face. Like, we agree with you about him. This is not who we are as Americans. And I would ask, as someone that's done this, like, what can we do? Because we had this sweet lady call yesterday. She said, I'm elderly and I'm in a wheelchair. I can't march, but I've been calling my Congress, senators, whatever. I think someone, I don't know if it was you at the event, said, when you get tired, pass the baton to someone else and then take it back up again when you can.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever it is, because I think people want to know, what can they do? What advice would you offer them?
I mean, I think first and foremost, I would check out the platform and policy on the Movement for Black Lives website. The Movement for Black Lives is a coalition of over 50 organizations in North America that have set out what economic justice looks like, what educational justice looks like, and a myriad of other things. So we don't need to actually be inventing the wheel. The other thing is looking at movements like the No Dakota Access Pipeline.
Yeah.
Folks are still on the ground. Folks are still trying to mobilize against it. So they need funds. They need resources. And the reality is Trump is promising to activate the Keystone XL pipeline.
Yeah.
So that's another pipeline that we actually need to be putting our resources towards. The frontier really is looking at environmental racism. I think it's about combining our movements together. So the Movement for Black Lives is really looking at the implications of what environmental justice looks like for racialized people, for black people. You know, I think it's looking and following the Women's March. They're having a lot of actions that are coming out. There's been a call out for a general strike. You know, so we really need to hit them in the pocket. So there's a lot of different actions that
working.
Folks can plug into. Absolutely,
yeah.
It is.
And listen, what else gives me hope is a Black Lives Matter activist is petting my white dog so furiously and so efficiently. It gives my heart good. let's go through your resume a little bit. First of all, what's an Afrofuturist? What is that?
So now we get to get cool. We get to get really into it. All right.
Come on.
Afrofuturism, it is an ideology. It is an aesthetic. And it is a genre.
Okay.
So
can I join?
Yeah, you absolutely should.
Fantastic.
You absolutely should.
Okay.
Right? It's really about how radical and revolutionary it is to imagine a future with black people in it. And when the reality of black people dying every 28 hours now, we need to know that. We need to create stories about ourselves with a future in it that's not just focused on what our past has been in a really North American-centric narrative.
Right.
And it's, you know, when it comes down to the aesthetic, right?
Right.
I mean, you see how cool I be looking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, see,
you know,
listen.
But it's about taking risks and chances.
Hot, hot, hot. Also, you're a boxer, which I'm guessing lightweight, featherweight?
Yeah.
Something, because you're...
I'm feather.
But you could take Jim out with one punch, couldn't you?
I mean, I'm not going to say yes, but yes.
Okay, all right.
You know, but this is what's interesting. The rules of boxing are the same rules in organizing. The first rule of boxing is protect yourself at all times.
Right.
Right? That's got to be the first rule of organizing. The second rule is the only punch that hurts is the one you don't see coming.
Right.
Right? And the third rule is the punches don't hurt less. You just learn how to roll with them better, right? So it's all about adaptability, and that's what the same thing with organizing.
And we took the first punch, this election, right? So we're woke now. We are woke. I mean, that's the difference, I think, whether it's, you know, you're comparing it to all these other atrocities that you talked so eloquently about. We're America. We're the United States of America. There's too many of us. We're too diverse. We have social media. We have social media too, Twitler. And we're using it. Mm-hmm. And this is what's so beautiful about what you're seeing is I think it really is like, no, not this time.
Yeah. One of our greatest tasks is we're using 20th century tools in a 21st century model. And so we actually have the ability now to create entirely new tools. And that's actually what we have to do. Our language has to revolutionize our relationships. And we have to grow with the tools that we're using. And social media is one new invention that's actually streamlined what organizing a coalition across borders looks like.
See, and all you youngins are helping people like me. How many times do I go, how do I do the thing? And just here, just touch that, Grandma. Yeah. See, this is you. That's what gives me hope. I got youngins like you to prop us, us up. Mm-hmm. And because I love when I said our generation, like I just put myself right over her. See how I did that? Our generation can't fail. Nobody help, Grandma. This is fantastic. I'm so glad you live here. We've got to come back and see us again. You're doing fantastic work. Thanks for just your energy and your inspiration. Because people were you saw it. Everybody was like a standing ovation when you talked. You have quite a future ahead of you, young lady.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being had. We appreciate it. All right. We'll see you again soon. Janaya Khan, everybody. Go to, where do we go? What websites? How do we help?
Check out blacklivesmatter.com and check out the Movement for Black Lives.
Okay. Give just one punch. Just take Jim out with one punch. See if he sees it coming. All right. Janaya Khan.